From Pico Villeta in Spain, welcome to the GCN show.
Welcome to the GCN show.
Coming up this week, has Mathieu van der Poel bitten off more than he can chew? We find out with some expert help if his goal of becoming world champion in yet another discipline is a step too far, or can he become the first man to ever get the full set?
We've also got news of a new long-distance gravel route in America that might help you meet yourself where you are, whatever that means. Bike paths getting named in Korea and a brand new competition where you can win an Insta360 X5 camera and the new Go 3S bundle.
Yeah, and don't forget as well, we have got some of the most exciting transport news of the year.
So this bit of the show is supposed to get people excited. I left that part out for a reason. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that Chris Froome has seriously injured himself in a training crash and is facing a painful end to his career.
Yeah, not much is known about the circumstances other than no other cars or bikes were involved, but he broke 5 ribs and a vertebra, needed to be airlifted to hospital where he underwent surgery.
Collapsed lung as well, I think, wasn't it? He never got back to his best after his life-threatening crash back in 2019, but we hope to see him back on a bike again soon. Get well soon, Chris.
Yeah. Now, we also learned, again, that if you can stay on your bike, at least, cycling to work does literal wonders for your health compared to driving.
So a study from a team of Italian academics, which has the very catchy title of... You ready for this? It's really catchy.
Go on then.
Commuting by bicycle, in brackets versus by car, is associated with improved aerobic power, microvascular function, and diminished CO2 output in the atmosphere. That's the title.
That is catchy,
Found that riding just 4Ks 4 or 5 times per week is enough to see health benefits.
Yeah. I wonder whether they called it that for SEO. That would show up in every search wouldn't it, basically?
We also learned that Mathieu van der Poel might possibly have bitten off more than he can chew. Possibly.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, it's certainly a subject for debate, isn't it? So here we are. So, despite being a god of road racing and a god of cyclocross...
And a gravel world champion, I think.
And a gravel world champ. He's not quite god yet, is he? Even though he won it in godlike manner. Anyway, he has long since wanted to be world champion on a mountain bike as well.
Yeah, greedy. I think is what we call that size. And he wanted to be Olympic mountain bike champion as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
But also very cool, as well as being greedy, isn't it? Even if you don't follow cross-country mountain biking, don't really care about it, it's a super competitive, super challenging discipline of bike racing. So to be able to win a title there as well makes you a god of cycling, I guess, isn't it, overall?
Yeah, cycling, completed it, mate.
Exactly. Pauline Ferrand-Prévot is the only rider to have ever managed it in the past, isn't she? Although, of course, she's on another level now, having won the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift as well. But she's got world titles in road, cyclocross, gravel, mountain bike cross country, and mountain bike marathon.
Yeah, she might have short track as well, but I didn't check that. Now, what of van der Poel then? Okay, why are we talking about this? Well, so he has stated his ambition to win the world championships, and it's in 2 weeks' time.
Just under, yeah.
So his previous races on the mountain bike in recent years have been disastrous.
Not been great, no.
Yeah, so he crashed out of the Beijing Olympics. That was a bit embarrassing, that one, isn't it? Mm. He crashed out of the world championships in Glasgow. We could forgive him for that one because he just won the road worlds, so that wasn't quite so embarrassing. And then he crashed out of the Nove Mesto World Cup in May, which was also a little bit embarrassing.
A little bit, wasn't it? So it was with much anticipation that he lined up in Leger in France for the World Cup round that took place last Sunday.
Yeah, now the long and the short of it is that, well, it wasn't embarrassing at all, was it? Far from it. He managed to ride through the field from a poor grid position until just after half distance he reached the front group. But then he couldn't quite ever get on terms with the leaders, losing ground on the descents, and then he faded ever so slightly on the final lap to finish sixth.
Which was a mature ride.
It was, yeah.
Really, wasn't it? And it showcased that physically he is in great shape. But have we found the limit to his technical skills, Si?
Yeah.
To try and understand it a little bit more, so I actually spoke with a friend of GCN, one of the commentary team, himself an ex-pro mountain biker, multi-time national champ and 3-time Olympian.
I think that's enough. I think you bigged him up enough now.
Okay. Welcome, Ollie Beckinsale.
Ollie, thanks so much for joining us, mate. I know for hardcore mountain bike fans and racers, it's probably pretty annoying focusing on van der Poel, but We're going to focus on Vanderpool anyway. Forgive me. So what did you make of his performance yesterday?
I think it was the performance I expected. It was a really solid ride. I think Never Mess, though, was a disappointment, massive disappointment for him. You know, he crashed out, broke his skateboard. It almost took him out of the major Tour de France. And I think that he would have left there kind of really annoyed and embarrassed to some degree. I think coming into this, he wanted a solid race. You know, his big goal is the World Championships in 2 weeks' time. And here he just needed a solid race. From people chatting to him before, they were saying, you know, a top 10. I put him down as fifth before the race. So I was pretty close. Yeah. So I think he did a good job. And I think he's gone away happy. He knows what he needs to work on. And when you look at the splits and the times where he lost the time, I think he can improve massively in 2 weeks.
The fact that he got to the front and then didn't lose all that much at the end, is it fair to say then that physically he is on another level to the rest of the field?
The guy's a superstar. You know, if you were putting him on if it was a race up a 3-minute climb of all the mountain bikers, he's going to win. You know, he is unbelievably good. But we're in a very technical sport. It's no different to saying you could be a superstar mountain biker, but if you're not great at positioning, you're going to be in the wrong pace before you hit the key climbs of Flanders. It's like the flip side to that. So he's gridding. He hasn't got a high world ranking. He slots in at 33 because of his road ranking, bizarrely, into the grid. But he lost 40 seconds on the first lap. He was then the fastest rider on course, lap two. To move up and get to the front group, it's so inefficient. To get past riders, you have to slow up, then accelerate. You're doing these accelerations, which mean by the time he got to the back of the front group, he just got there, he expended a lot more energy. He was riding far less efficiently than the front guys.
So the question is then, has he got enough time to get that little bit better for the World Championships in 2 weeks? Can he do it?
I think he can do it. There's a chance. But he's up against it. I think the front guys, but I think it's really exciting. It's going to be close. You know, it's the course in Crans-Montana is less technical than Leger. What happened last year, it was extremely technical, too much really. So they've actually dumbed it down a bit for this year, made it a bit safer. So that's in his favour. He's got 2 weeks more on the mountain bike. He's got 2 weeks. He said he went well, he won a stage, but he wasn't as sharp as he would like to be. He wasn't his best. So he feels he needs to get sharper. So he's got 2 weeks to get ready. He's only going to get better in 2 weeks. And I think the other guys are probably as they are. So I think it's going to be close. It's going to be exciting.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks, Ollie. That's absolutely brilliant, mate.
Well, what did you make of that?
Well, I'm really looking forward to watching in 2 weekends' time, Dan. That is essentially what I've made of it. Physically, as Ollie said, he's on another level, right? I cannot wait to see if he can get his skills up in the next 2 weeks.
It would be a really tall order on a technical course, like Ollie said. You just can't become a boss in 2 weeks, really, can you?
I don't think you can.
Not even Mathieu van der Poel. No. But it's less of a tall order on a course like Crans-Montana, from what we believe, this year anyway.
Yeah. I think he's going to do it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think we shouldn't underestimate the mountain bike guys.
All right.
It's all very well saying that he was closing in on them in the climbs, but at the front of the race, you only have to go as fast as you need to go, really, don't you?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? So maybe there's a bit more in the tank for eventual winner Luca Martin.
Well, yeah. I mean, it didn't look like he had much left at the end of it, to be
but
fair.
Yet he pulled a minute, I think it was, on Van der Poel in one lap. Anyway, there's also a footnote to this story, isn't there? Tom Pidcock is a former mountain bike world champ and a former cyclocross world champ. And he's also down to ride the road worlds in Rwanda this year, Si. So he too could get himself this complete set. He's got his work cut out for sure, hasn't
yes.
he? But the course in Rwanda should suit him.
Yeah, but harder beating Tadej Pogacar than Luca Martin, you'd think.
Yes.
No disrespect to Luca at all, but Pogacar is...
No, I think people will understand what you're saying, Si.
Yeah, I think they will. But, I mean, we've got a pretty exciting few weeks of bike racing. And Pauline Ferrand-Prévot has thrown her hat into the road worlds again, hasn't she?
She has, hasn't she? Yeah.
That's exciting.
It is. It would be the first time in 12, 13 years, would it? That she'd won it.
Is that right?
It's quite a long time ago that she won the Road World Championships, yeah.
I tell you what, my money's on her.
Well, yeah.
It's not an outside bet, is it? But like
right.
I've got a sneaky tip for you.
Yeah. And Pogacar in the men's. Right, let us know what you think in the comment section down below. What is holding Mathieu van der Poel back in the mountain bike scene right now? Is it simply his technical ability? Is it his bad gridding at the start? Do you think he will win the World Championships this year or at some point in the future?
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now, I'm going to start with some cool news from the US. So adventure cyclist Sarah Swallow is hoping to become the first person to complete the new 3,700-mile off-road route from the Adventure Cycling Association.
Now, the Golden Gravel Trail is officially launching in 2026 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the organisation, which already has a huge archive of routes all across the states, actually, north, south, east and west.
Yeah, Swallow said, I'm undertaking it to tune in, meet myself where I am, find my rhythm and learn through the bicycle and America's Western landscapes.
I reckon you could do with a bit of that, mate.
Well, I tend to meet myself where I am generally when I'm going over 400 watts. Well,
that explains it.
Yeah.
So, you don't manage that much these days either, do you? Don't meet yourself very much. Anyway, moving on. There was some very exciting news last week for transport nerds, wasn't there, Si?
What are you trying to say?
That you are a transport nerd, is what I'm implying. Admit it, you are excited about this, aren't you?
I am, actually. Yeah, I'm really excited. Super exciting news. Here in the UK, the National Travel Survey revealed the data for 2024. Yeah, well, okay, honestly, right, this is one of the most comprehensive and longest-running travel surveys in the world, giving us unprecedented insight into 60 years of transport data.
Can we get onto the headlines? It's from 2024, this is.
This is,
what are the headlines now? We're on the edges of our seats, home and here in the studio.
Drum roll. Overall commuting stats are that numbers are still down compared to 2019 by 21%.
Oh.
Yeah, but they actually fell year on year as well. So 2024, fewer people commuted. And this isn't cycling, this is across the board.
Right.
I thought that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, it's not just commuting though. People made fewer trips generally. So trips for shopping, which is the second most popular reason, are also down year on year. However, cycling journeys held constant.
Oh.
Which I think is good news, right?
Yeah.
So even if it's not going up, it's not going down. And, crucially, there is plenty of opportunity to make it even more, given that cycling represents only 2% of all journeys in the UK, and that 17% of journeys that are less than 1 mile are still taken in cars.
Wow.
That is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think at least it might be less than 10% of less than 1 mile, I thought. No. Even less than that. It's a bit mad, isn't it, that particular stuff?
I mean, it does beg a belief, right? Like, obviously, some people will always have a good reason for driving. I'm not saying it needs to be 100%.
Mm.
But, I mean, still, I think there's a lot of those people that could walk or, you know, I don't know, roller skate or, God forbid, ride a bicycle.
Well, I, for one, Si, even if the rest of our viewers disagree, would like to thank you for our travel update there.
My pleasure, yeah. Should we carry on?
Oh, good. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, well, this is a subject close to my heart as well, right? Cyclists in Ireland are posing the question, should you use a bike path that is less safe and less convenient than the road just because it's there?
I've thought this to myself in Belgium before.
Well, okay.
Anyway, this relates to an article in Killarney Today, which is reporting on friction with car drivers who have to share the road with cyclists in spite of a segregated two-way bike path on the same route. Those cyclists still using the road point to the danger of having to cross the road twice in order to ride on it, and then losing the right of way over side roads, so having to stop three times instead of just continuing to ride along.
As I said, right, I sympathise with this. I too have a bike path near me just like this, and it's a dilemma to which I ride on the road, basically, because I'm like, well, I don't want to lose the right of way. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's like, it's absolutely bonkers. So, question for you lot at home as well. Should you use any bike infrastructure just because it's there, or ride on the road and then have people shout to you, "Oi, get on the bike path!"
I've never had anyone shout that at me. Well, maybe in Belgium, like I was mentioning before.
You just don't understand what they said.
No, I mean, it does slow you down when you're on a training ride, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, just literally like riding to the shops. Mm. I'm like, you know, ride along, or just...
Yeah.
With the sound effect.
You're passionate about that topic as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
They've got a different problem in Korea, though, where segregated bike lanes are now being given names in order to help with identification, navigation, and general use.
Now, this sounds great, okay? This is like the next level of cycling infrastructure. I have always thought it'd be cool if you had a bike path just called Barbara or something.
Well, it should be like a Deloitte super high, a really fast one.
A really fast one. One that was fast and now
it's been taken down to a 30.
Isn't so good anymore. Right, some pro racing news now. We'll break away from transport infrastructure, shall we? Something we were chatting about around the office this morning, actually. Are contractual breaks the new norm? So it seems like they've gone from once in a blue moon, where a rider moves teams before their contract's up, to a fairly regular occurrence.
I guess recent examples would be... Well, fairly recent. Primoz Roglic obviously went from Jumbo-Visma, as it was at the time, over to Bora Hansgrohe, as it was at the time. And Kian Alcherbrooks, who basically went the other way, didn't he? They were both before their contracts ended. Much more recently, just in the last couple of weeks, Charlotte Cole moved from mid-season to Fenix de Koenig, despite an ongoing contract with Picnic Personnel that wasn't supposed to run out until the end of this year.
Yeah, I think we can also add Derek G to the list.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, so he claims he's parted ways with Israel Premier Tech, whilst they claim that his contract is still valid. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Juan Ayuso seems to want to get out of his long-term contract with UAE, doesn't he?
He does.
And recent rumours suggest that there'd be a move to Lidl Trek, potentially, on the cards.
Crikey, interesting stuff. I do have a theory on this new fashion, as it were.
Go on then.
I think most of it is down to these really long contracts that riders are now being given. So in the past, 3 years was unusually long, really,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Was, yeah.
But now, 5 years or even longer is the norm for the most talented riders around. But the problem is, 5 years is quite a long time, really, isn't it? And if it's a young rider, like Ayuso, neither the rider nor the team really knows whether it's going to be a marriage made in heaven or a relationship that sort of breaks down after the honeymoon period.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it can work out well for some of the teams, right? If they get a super talent on a good deal, they could potentially make quite a good transfer fee if another team comes sniffing around, right?
True, yes. But again, that's a relatively new thing in the world of cycling, at least, isn't it?
Yeah.
Transfer fees. Certainly feels like it's here to stay, though. It has become much more commonplace, doesn't it? Anyway, moving on. Our mates at Pinarello have just launched their Dogma F with new colourways, as well as updating its My Way customisation.
Yeah, so they have used 3D gaming technology to make it a little bit more immersive and easier to use. Plus, they've added new graphic layouts and a whole heap of new colours as well. Each design is then, this is kind of cool, right, hand-painted at the Pinarello HQ with the option of a matte or a gloss finish.
I did have a look at the press release, and some of the designs they've got on there, they look really good, don't they?
They do, very bling.
Yeah.
Right, next up, I've been told that I've got to promote you.
Oh, yes, Dan. You have. Yes, go on then.
Okay, so Dan is going to be doing some public training sessions on Zwift that are open to everyone. Now, the first one was this morning, wasn't it?
It was.
Did it go right?
Very good.
Good. But there is still plenty of time to join because Dan's going to be doing two sessions per week for the next 6 weeks. One on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. BST. One on Thursday morning at 11 a.m. BST.
That is correct. Yeah, 11 a.m.
Yeah. Are those during work hours?
That is also correct, Si. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We hadn't actually noticed that. You'll notice that those are work hours here in the UK. When I saw it, I was like, 9 a.m. UK time. Well, that's that meeting gone out of the way. That's that meeting gone out of the way. What's Dan doing this week? Oh, he's riding. I'm going to do this next year. Oh, guys, I've lost my mojo. Oh, I'm going to need to do that, all these group rides. When do you want to do it? Oh, I don't know. Monday, 10 a.m, something like that. He's a sneaky one, isn't he?
On a serious note, if you could at home join me on those sessions, it would be very much appreciated. I'm going to be expanding more on this in a video that's going to be out this week on Thursday. But my head's fallen off a little bit. So I hadn't ridden my bike between the time trial I did about 3 weeks ago and this morning's Zwift session. But I need to get my arse in gear, basically, Simon, because I've got the World Gravel Championships coming up in mid-October. So I thought it would be great if I had to turn up to these group training sessions.
Otherwise, he'd be letting you lot down. Accountability.
Exactly.
It's one of the most important things for training plans, isn't it? You designed the sessions as well, haven't you?
Yes, they're super easy. Now, I don't know how easy or hard they're going to be, but you can find them all on our Zwift GSIN club page. We'll put a link to that in the description just down below. But the great thing is, however you are finding a session, it's based on your FTP to start with, so it should be what's right for you. But if you are finding it too easy or too hard, you can just adjust the intensity as you go. The idea being that you complete every session, even if you're not on a great day, or you can just raise it if you're on a fantastic day.
Yeah, that does sound good, doesn't it? And like I say, it's easier to motivate yourself when you've got others to answer to if you don't turn
exactly.
up. And that doesn't just refer to you, Dan, does it? That refers to you lot, I hope.
Yeah.
You fancy a bicycle ride.
I'm going to be noting down everyone that said yes, they're going. If you're not there,
yeah,
I'll be writing to you.
Yeah, well, so if you'd like to join Dan and actually give him some encouragement, if you can write encouragement whilst also doing Dan's training yeah. session. But all power to you if you can. You can find all the details through the link in the description below. And whilst we're also talking about how to motivate Dan, you are quite lucky, mate, because Ceramic Speed have just become a partner with GCN Tech,
oh, yeah.
meaning that Alex was talking this morning about how he has got a whole truckload of their extra special components to make your Gravel World Champs bike even faster.
Crikey. Is he going to fit them for me too?
I think that is the idea, yes.
Wow. I won't say no to
no,
that.
No, I didn't think you would. Anyway, back to Zwift briefly, actually, before we leave it. We wanted to remind you that you can also race for us, GCN, in the upcoming ZRL, or Zwift Racing League. So you're going to be entering a few teams into this year's series, excuse me, made up of GCN Zwift Club members who want to race under the GCN banner.
So registrations for round one are already open and will be until the 13th of September. All you need to do is join the GCN Club on Zwift and send an email to gcn-club@zwift.com saying that you're interested.
Yeah, okay, we are going to finish Cycling Shorts now with a brand new giveaway.
Oh, yes.
There are two Insta360 bundles up for grabs, consisting of an X5 camera and then a Go360 Cycling POV bundle, which includes, amongst other things, a microphone and a mic wind cover,
exactly.
which is very important for bicycling.
A few other things as well. Basically, the lucky winners of this giveaway are going to be able to start their own cycling YouTube channel, put you and me out of a job sign,
oh.
I reckon.
Well, should we enter as well, just in case?
Or just nick the prizes. For more info on how to enter, once again, click on the link that's in the description just down below. Don't leave it too long, though, because entries are going to close next Friday at the 10 a.m. BST.
Yeah.
You know what's next? It's hack/bodge of the week. This is that part of the show, one of them that you can get involved with yourself. Just go to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader and you can submit your hacks and bodges there. The first one this week comes in from Chris Dark, who wanted a lightweight storage solution for inner tube tool, CO2 tyre levers and some other bits.
Don't we all, Chris, don't we all.
Weighed the saddlebag they were in before and determined the weight of the bag was 82 grams. Remember that, Si?
Yeah.
And I figured out that I could beat that. Frame has some riv nuts for external Di2 batteries, so use those locations to design a box, which I printed as solid to experiment and then converted into a mould, which I then used to mould carbon fibre. It didn't come out perfect. It's the first time I've made a structure from scratch that is hollow, but still, at 76 grams, it's lighter than the saddlebag and it looks all right.
Well, hang on a minute. I mean, it does look pretty good, actually. If only it sort of like was a little bit snugger to the seat tube. But, I mean, yeah, that's amazing. And you've saved 6 grams as well,
yeah.
which is utterly fantastic. I mean, that's kind of the stuff we dream of, isn't it, really? yeah, well done. And doesn't it look neat?
It does look neat, yeah, but I don't, I mean, it's quite a lot of hassle for 6 grams.
It's quite a lot of hassle for 6 grams.
I mean, when it does look good, though.
How much water, well, obviously I know how much water is, it's 6 millilitres, but I'm just trying to think of that in terms of like what 6 millilitres of water feels like in your mouth. I mean, it's essentially nothing, is it?
No.
It's like a pipette full.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, well, I mean, why not? You've made it look cool and it means you don't have a saddlebag, so, you know, some people like that aesthetic. Just as long as it doesn't rattle.
It means you can only have one bottle cage by the looks of it, though, does it? Or is the next...
Hang on a minute, I need to turn my laptop again. Oh, yeah. That one bottle only.
Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to give it a hack anyway, because it's 3D printed, it's carbon fibre.
Not having an extra bottle, though, saves another sort of 600 grams.
Well, it does, yeah. That'd be amazing. And that extra dehydration as well, that's lighter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, it's a win-win situation, Chris. No, I admire your ingenuity. Jokes aside, that is very cool.
Yeah.
We approve of hacks like that.
Hack from me as well. Well, surprise voting at the end of that.
Yeah. Right. Next one. We got this one sent in by Elon Aviger. I needed a bike stand to replace a derailleur hanger and re-index my gears. Our apartment has a storage unit made out of this metal fence mesh material. I used two tire levers to hang the steel cable from my bike lock to the ceiling and hung my bike on that steel cable. It was the perfect height to replace the hanger and work on the bike. I know it looks a bit janky. I'm glad you said that, because my first thought when I clicked on the picture was, it looks a bit janky, but said it was surprisingly stable and convenient. Mm. So
very tidy storage unit, isn't it?
I know. I was looking at that. I assume that must be Switzerland.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Like in might be Luxembourg.
Yeah, in the UK, I mean, no flats have storage areas like that anyway, let alone ones that look like you could eat dinner off the floor. Yeah. So, I think that's very cool.
Let us know, Ayla, where you are from and why you've got such a clean storage unit. Is it simply the standards of the country that you live in?
Yeah.
Despite the cleanliness, I'm still going bodge, I think.
Well, I know, but I'm swayed by the fact that it is surprisingly stable and convenient. So it feels like that's a hack, even if actually, you know, it's essentially just a bike lock hanging from a ceiling.
You're going hack, are you?
I feel like I am, actually.
I'm going bodge.
Yeah, no, I feel like I am. I just as long as you then maybe got some kind of bike. Well, maybe you don't need a bike. Maybe I'm just being fussy. Mm. Maybe I'm being elitist and snobbery.
I've done no doubt about that.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, cool. We're on the fence then.
Next up, do you know last week you announced that Isaac is leaving?
Yeah.
He used to put all the hacks and bodges in the script for us, didn't he?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
We've done it today, and on this next one, I've forgotten to paste the name in.
Hang on a minute. I'll get you out.
Okay. I'll read out the description while Si...
Jeff Arnold!
Oh, thank you, Jeff Arnold, yes. For a little more than a SAR, I picked up a state all-road frame 2 years ago. Display model, sold as is, no warranty, all sales final. What I didn't realise until after I'd paid to have it custom painted was that it was intended to be built as a one-by or to be built with electronic shifting. Worse, I already had a full, brand-new 2x11 GRX drivetrain on hand for the project.
Oh, no.
So I found a clamp on cable stop for my seat tube, a pair of brazed on cable stops for my down tube, and an industrial adhesive specifically for bonding steel and aluminium. The bottom bracket doesn't have cable routing, so I used a piece of cable housing to bridge the gap between the lower down tube stop and the seat tube stop. 2 years later, and after about 7,000 miles, this rig is still my daily rider.
I mean, that's pretty cool, actually. Like, I feel your pain, because if anyone has ever sort of built up bikes from, like, frame only, like, there are always...
stumbling blocks.
Always stumbling blocks. And, yeah. Like, oh, my God, I remember, like, I had a pair of wheels and I ended up having to buy, like, sounds ridiculous, like, 4 separate end caps, because like I ordered the wrong ones and then I had one that fitted and one didn't. It ended up I got this pair of wheels that was free and I think I spent £100 on end caps or something. I was thinking I know about bicycles and yet I'm still making these. Anyway, to cut a long story short, this feels like a very like commendable way of getting out of a really shit situation with your brand new bike. So whilst I don't want to say hack, because essentially it is a bodge, it's pretty cool what you've done, and I'm very glad to hear that it has lasted 7,000 miles.
Gosh, you're right, it is a bodge, so I'm going to say bodge. I mean, I do commend you for managing to make use of your 2x GRX group set on a frame that wasn't designed for it, but it's still a bodge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's face it. I used to have a tendency to do a lot of servicing and dismantling the night before a mountain bike race,
oh,
which is generally a Saturday, of course. And then my dad would have to help me on the kitchen floor covered in newspapers. I tried to reassemble my hub or suspension forks or something. I don't know why I did it the night before the race.
Oh, man, yeah, no, I know what you mean. Well, anyway, this is cool. And what I'm really glad is that Jeff didn't get the drill out and just drill a hole in the frame, because we've seen that before. So no, I wholeheartedly applaud Jeff.
We better speed up, mate, because whilst Isaac used to just put 4 in, we've added 5 in ourselves.
Here we have, yeah. Okay, right, next up, Michael. The night before my race, this sounds like one of yours, Dan.
It does, yeah.
One of the spring-loaded pins on my SRAM Transmission GX derailleur failed. So this is something I never knew could happen to SRAM wireless rear derailleurs, but now two people have sent them in.
It's only a couple of weeks ago,
yeah, just like the little connector pin. pins in the derailleur that attach the batteries, one of the pins has got a bit stuck. Do you know what they need? They just need some WD-40. That'll sort it out. But in the absence of WD-40, the workaround seems to be a little bit of tin foil that you can find, like wrapping a chocolate bar, or as Michael said, from my takeaway dinner. And there you go, it's fixed the battery. Yeah.
Well, so, we said hack before. I think we're going to say hack again, aren't we?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah. I think that's great. So a little bit of tin foil, and you guess it sorts you right out.
Good stuff. We had to put the fifth one in, or at least I did, because I wanted Si to see this.
Whoa.
Came in from Gary Jackson. Nothing is new. Gravel bikes are just turn-of-the-century mountain bikes with rigid forks and drop bars, squeezed in a 700 wheel set and a 1x11 Chinese group set on drop bars. Not all drop bars on mountain bikes are horrible, Si. This rides like a dream.
Okay, Dan. Be still, my beating heart. For podcast listeners, this is what I'm assuming is a GT mountain bike.
Yeah.
Circa 2000 and, what should we say, 5?
It's got, disc brakes, isn't it?
So it's got disc brakes. It's been sprayed up orange. Looks very cool. But it actually has been built up as a gravel bike. But it looks right. But do you know why it looks right? It's because retro mountain bikes have effectively like road/gravel geometry. Like the head angles, the seat angles, it was all the same. It's modern mountain bikes that are completely different and that don't work. Whereas that looks really good. So good, in fact, that I wonder whether we need to do it.
Oh, have you got an old mountain bike frame? I've got my old Rally, but it's
rim brakes. I have got
hydraulic rim brakes.
So I snigger, but that's only because it dates it, doesn't it? No, I do actually, as it happens, have a frame from 2006, so a 26-inch mountain bike with disc brakes. Don't know what I'll do for the fork. I mean, that is a, don't know what I'll do for the fork. Anyway, but that looks wicked. So yes, fair play. Who sent this one on? Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks mint.
All right, hack.
Yeah, hack. As long as you promise me that it doesn't ride like a barge. If it rides like a barge, then I'm going to come and have a discussion with you, Gary. But otherwise, yeah, I'll say it's a hack. It's time now for that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you have to do is put a witty comment. Just wondering what you had to do then. Yeah. A witty comment in the comment section down below. That's nice. A caption. A witty caption.
I just thought the viewers would like you just stumbling over this part of the show.
Yeah,
I've
not done it very much. No, so put a witty caption in the comment section down below. Pick a winner next week. But we'll start, as always, with the results.
Well, let's start with a photo, which was this one of David Godoy in disbelief as he'd beaten Mas Pedersen in a sprint line at the Vuelta a España.
It was the Vuelta, not the Giro, which I said last week.
Oh, did you?
I was very good
at this part of the show, are you?
No, well, I was thinking, like, Italy, Giro, as opposed to Italy, Tour of Spain, you know.
Anyway, we've got our winner, which I picked.
Oh, yeah.
The Paddy 202 put caption, OMG, look at the size of that GCN presenter's ankles.
thanks, Paddy. Yeah. Unless, of course, you're referring to the fact that Dan has little twiglets for legs.
It could be.
Yeah.
For ankles.
It's not just about my supersize.
My very small ankles really accentuate the size of my car boxes. anyway, get in touch, Paddy, on Facebook with your address and we'll get a bottle sent out to you as soon as possible. This week's photo is from La Vuelta, but in Spain, okay. Site. It is Filippo Ganna and teammate at Ineos Grenadiers, Victor Langalotti, slouching, I would say, on a bench. Yep. I will get you started in Filippo Ganna's, not voice, but from his perspective. Okay, Victor, here we do some bench press.
Because they're on a bench?
Yeah, and a bench and some press come along to interview them.
Oh, I see.
So they play on words.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, no, that's better than I first thought. Yeah.
You're one of those people I need to explain my jokes to.
Well, that one. I suspect there's a fair few people out there wondering what on earth you're talking about. But yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you can do better at home anyway.
Yeah.
As Si mentioned before, all you need to do is leave your witty comments in the caption section down below. We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN over the next few days. But first up, we've picked out a few comments from the last week's worth of videos. And we will start, as ever, with a few from underneath last week's GCN show with you and Connor Sy. RHOS4Z put, a friendly greeting costs nothing, so be nice to your fellow cyclists. Not too pro to say hello.
Well, yes, but... So, you see, I was thinking about this again today on my ride in, where I was waving at everybody this morning because, you know, being friendly. And I just feel like a bit of a Wally waving to, like, you know, young people, clearly not bike riders as such. They're just using bikes as transport. And they're literally like, who is this old guy in Lycra waving at me? I don't think it's okay as a 42-year-old man to be waving at, like...
No, you could get reported.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so... So, yeah, but then there was one guy that I didn't.
Had these massive sunglasses on as well, so that I couldn't see where his eyes were looking.
Well, I didn't wave to one guy who I then noticed was wearing like a pair of cycling glasses whilst wearing casual kit. And he looked at me as if he was like, oh, I think that's that guy from GCN.
He was looking at you as thinking, oh, I should be putting a comment underneath the GCN show.
He didn't say hello to me this morning. Yeah, so anyway, I don't know what to do, frankly, now. So, yeah. James HMD said, Sy, your calf muscles look so good, comment, when sitting on is a great tip. Oh, so this was referring to if you are going to sit on someone and not ask for permission or say hello, at least throw in a compliment. Yeah. I was doing the Haute Route Alps a few years ago, and when climbing the Col de la Madeleine, the eventual female winner was on my wheel, and she said to me, your calves look incredible. It was an instant 50-watt boost, and to this day, it's the nicest thing a woman has ever said to me. Do you know what? I was hoping that would end up in a kind of... Do you know what? After that, I asked her out, and then we got together. But still, that is a nice compliment. And funnily enough, no one has ever said that to me.
No, I was about to say, not a woman nor a man has ever said, your calves look incredible, Lloydy.
There were two... Do you remember the Downings?
Yeah.
So there were two, like, iconic British racers from, like, the... early 2000s, and anyway, there was one year where I basically kept getting in a breakaway with the pair of them, Dean and Russ, and obviously I can't sprint anyway, so I'd come third out in every race. and they were very good at motivating / working me over, and they were always like, you're so strong, you're like a motorbike, and I would literally sit on the front going like, yeah, woo, and I would ride until I blew, and then they'd both ride off and leave me. So it works. It's a very potent tactic, that.
Just finally, underneath last week's show, next 310 put, I got out of trouble in the middle of nowhere by watching GCN Park Tour videos when a gear cable snapped and I was 3 days away from the next bike shop. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Yeah, nice to know we help people out every now and then, Dan.
Meanwhile, underneath what they don't tell you about high-carb fueling, this is Connor down at the lab in Exeter, wasn't it? Peter DeBoss put, carb schmarbs, you will be forever the guy who provides the best draft of any GCN presenter ever.
Well, only when he's got carbs in him, because Connor, when he's got no carbs, is about the most useless draft ever, because it's basically walking pace. So, we need to make sure Connor is well-fueled, don't we? Lord John 68, very impressive change from short to long trousers during the walk across the car park. A talent no doubt acquired during Connor's racing days.
Let's have a quick look at that again. When you notice it is quite funny, isn't it? And then sticking with the same part of that video, at Jane McLeod put, that parking job is the bodge of the week. And again, when you look back at that part of the video, it is terrible parking, isn't it?
Isn't it? There's no comments about the carbohydrates then?
No, basically. I mean, there's a couple.
Okay.
I didn't put them in, but there's a couple. But it was mainly about the continuity errors and the bad parking and the impressive amount of muscle that Connor has around his knees as well.
Is that right?
Yep.
Amazing. Okay, underneath Ollie's video where he told us how he got 14% better at climbing. Trust Ollie to be able to put a figure on how much better he'd got. But anyway, there we go. Bigger Tree said, a 40-year-old with all that hair is more admirable than breaking the Alpe d'Huez record. I was thinking just this morning on a video call how good Ollie's hair is.
I thought the same.
He did. He looked very good this morning, didn't he?
Rasta Rob said, I don't care what anyone says, but I'm 52 years old and after 30 plus years of riding road bikes, I bloody well earned my croissant. Okay?
yeah, fair play. And then underneath, can this legendary bike stand up to a modern superbike? Where we were lucky enough to ride an old Quickstep team bike from 2005, back in the iconic Time era. Darren Thomas said, if I wanted to watch presenters ride without socks, I would have put GTN. This is poor old Alex turned up without socks.
I know.
Yeah, not good.
DRDRD8069, but love the video. I've had a Focus since 2006 and it stood the test of time pretty well. Still feels bloody fast and very responsive. I didn't buy another bike until 2024. The new bike, aeroframe and external cables. It is a lot faster, but I do still love riding the old Focus just as much. I've always liked bikes from that era. Can't really come to terms though with a 2006 bike being vintage.
Ah, yeah. To be fair, I heard something about the categorisation of vintage, retro and antiques the other day. Right. But I can't for the life of me remember anything other than the fact that an antique has to be over 100 years
is it?
Old.
I've got a little way to go then.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, not quite halfway.
No. Just finally, ahead of myself, but both super bikes 20 years apart. I own and love both, coincidentally.
Wow, check you out, ahead of myself. Yeah. That's cool. You lucky fizzer. Yeah. That's amazing.
What a coincidence. They've got both the bikes featured on the video.
Yeah.
All right, coming up on the channel this week then, on Thursday, as I mentioned before, I'm going to be talking you through my preparation for the gravel world, why it hasn't been going to plan so far, and what my plan is for the next 6 weeks going towards it, and how you can help me out by getting involved in that training series. And on Saturday, we've been trying to fix that super light bike that broke before the Outdoers Feather attempt.
The Andrew Feather broke, yes. Yeah. So over on GCN Tech, you can follow Ollie's struggle. I believe he is struggling because he's downstairs now in our workshop, and I think I've heard a bit of swearing.
Have you?
I think I have, yes. But anyway, fixing that up, because then the video for GCN on Sunday is all being well, Andrew Feather taking the super duper light bike out and trying to claim a KOM that isn't Outdoors, unfortunately, but
prestigious one, not quite as prestigious, but prestigious nonetheless.
And it has been raced up by Grand Tour winners at Full Throttle. I raced up there, but it was pre Strava, so it's
same.
Not, yeah, so it didn't get the KOM, unfortunately.
I got a top 10 on that though.
On the Strava?
No. Strava was a long way in the distance from then.
You got on the podium, didn't you?
Oh, that was a different time.
Yeah, that was the Nationals.
Oh, you're giving away where it is now.
That's all right.
I did the French Nationals 1 year.
No. I literally went, really? No, you didn't. Anyway, yeah. But you didn't go out very quickly that day, did you?
No.
Bradley Wiggins and David Miller went up.
No, it was Brad and Chris Froome.
Oh, was it?
Before Chris Froome was very good. But he was quite good that day. He just wasn't well known as being good.
He finished fourth that day, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, rolled in. Anyway, there we go. That little almost story brings an end to the GCN show this week. We should also actually, Dan, we noticed in the comment section, so thank you very much to those of you who brought it to our attention, that we've been a bit slack at uploading the GCN show to podcast platforms.
Have we?
Yes, we have. We have rectified the situation.
Well, thank goodness Isaac has gone.
Yes, exactly.
He wasn't doing his job.
It wasn't Isaac's fault. Anyway, yes, so if you're used to listening to the GCN show on your various podcast platforms, then it should now be there, as are the missing weeks. Yeah. So there we go.
Right, we'll see you, or you'll hear us next week then.
Yeah. Good luck with the Zwift sessions, Dan.
Cheers.
I would join you, but unfortunately I've got work to do.